Let's read the Bible together. This passage is Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 to 14, which starts on page 90 of the Turquoise Church Bibles. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered round Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterwards, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.'" Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened.
Making homemade gods is crazy. Making homemade gods is crazy, but also, and very sadly, making homemade gods has consequences. Making homemade gods has consequences. So you mean, when I say, we want to say it together, when we say consequences, we're going to do it down arrows. Making homemade gods has consequences. And that's what Connie realized by being so obsessed with her cake that she'd made. She loved the cake. She ate the cake. She got sick of cake. She lost her job. She lost her friends, all because she worshipped her cake. And that's the trouble with any kind of man-made God. Sometimes when we love something so much, we love something more than God, there's a natural consequence. So if we love cakes more than God, then often we get sick. If we love our toys more than God, they always break. And they never look as good when you've opened them than when they looked in the shop or online, do they? They never look as good. They always leave you wanting more. It never satisfies you. Or if we love our friends more than God and we try to control them to love us the most, then very often they leave us and walk away. But the biggest trouble with worshipping man-made gods is that we're turning from God. And his ways will have to answer to him. That's not just a natural consequence. That is what you might call a God consequence. In our passage, you can see on the screen, verses 27 to 29 and verse 35, three times God disciplines his people for making and worshipping homemade gods. We can't go through it all, but he starts by, in verse 20, Moses takes a golden calf and he grinds it all up into tiny pieces, and he makes the people pour the ground up calf into water and drink the calf. Then in verses 27 to 29, lots of people die because of their sin. And in verse 35, God sends a nasty plague on the people and they get a disease. It's quite hard reading those verses, isn't it? You may hear me saying those things, and maybe you head home and you read and think, that's really hard, but they're important to remember that God always judges sin. When we turn away from him and we make homemade gods, he never misses anything. Sometimes we do something and mum or dad or the teacher doesn't see. God sees every single time. I don't know if you're watching the Women's Football World Cup or the Cricket World Cup. It used to be that if someone did something wrong, it often got missed by the referee. Maybe a goal was scored offside or wasn't allowed. But today we have something called VAR, Video Assisted Referees, which means it never gets missed. It never gets missed. If someone is in the middle of a football match and they pick up the ball and deliberately throw it into the goal or tackle someone really viciously, what happens? What happens? The referee will lift up a red card and send the player off for committing that wrongdoing. Or if someone took some sandpaper, like I've got here, and they rubbed a cricket ball to try to make it swing in a funny way, or if they were in charge of doing that. And if that gets caught, as it always does get caught, as it happened last year with the Australian cricket team, and poor Steve Smith, who was the captain, the best batsman in the world at the time, was banned for 1 year for organising his players to cheat. It always comes and catches up with you. There's always consequences of doing things that are wrong. All sin has consequences. Making homemade gods has consequences. God sees it all, and he warns to us all, if we continue to worship things other than God, then one day we'll spend the whole of eternity away from God. We'll be banned from heaven forevermore. It's a really, really hard thing to say that. But boys and girls, mums and dads, it's really important that I say that. Making homemade gods is crazy. Making homemade gods has consequences. So turn and trust the real God instead. That's our last point. Our time is almost done. It's the third point. You see, God is like the best, most loving parent you can possibly have. And like all loving parents, our loving Heavenly Father doesn't want to have to discipline us when we disobey him, but he's prepared to. That's what a loving parent should do. They love you, and so they will be prepared to discipline you. And if you want to understand more about that, in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 4 to 13, you can read that when you head home, how God disciplines those he loves. But most of all, God, you see, wants to show us his grace. And we get a hint of that in our passage. So you look down in our passage again, chapter 32, verse 11. And if you've still got the passage open, let me read these words out. Verse 11. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to wipe them, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Verse 14, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. God is in heaven. Moses is at the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai. And he is praying to God that God would show mercy and would be gracious and loving to his people. God, you see, could have wiped them all out. He does discipline them, as I said in a moment ago. But he could have wiped out all the people. They could have all died and he could have found a new people to rescue. But no, he didn't. He promises to save. And 2,000 years after Moses was up a mountain, the Lord Jesus Christ went up another mountain. And when Jesus Christ went up on that other mountain, he went to die on a cross in order to pay for all the wrong things that people who trust in him do. So we could have done that exercise again and thought of all the wrong things we've done, which has caused Jesus to die on the cross. He died on the cross. He 3 days later, rose again to give us a new life. And now, do you know where Jesus is? He's not at the top of a mountain anymore. He's in heaven and he's praying to his Father to forgive us as we trust in him. So we are called. Jesus calls us today to turn from making homemade gods to trust in the real God instead. Do we deserve it? No. Can we earn it? No. Can we keep the Ten Commandments to get it? No. It's a free gift entirely by God's grace. What do we need to do? All we need to do is say to God and mean sorry for the things I've done, like the stuff I wrote down on that card. I love the fact that we can't see it. It's not for us to see. You need to take that to God. You say, sorry for all these things I do. Thank you for Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for me. Please will you forgive me and help me to live for you. And you know what? If you pray that to God, he will accept you. If you turn around and trust in him. That's why here at Highfields, we love talking to boys and girls, mums and dads, the whole church family about what an amazing God he is, because he is a God of grace. I'm going to say a short prayer, then we're going to sing that song to close, God of Grace. Let's bow our heads and pray. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you for reminding us today that making homemade gods is crazy. We're sorry for when we do that. We thank you for warning us that making homemade gods has consequences. We thank you, God, for warning us. We thank you for Jesus, for coming to die on the cross and rise again to give us new life. We pray, please will you forgive us and help us to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd love to talk with anyone. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time today, young or old, do come and have a word with me afterwards. I'll be just at the door at the close.